You're listening to Process and Event by Alexander Bard and Jan Söderqvist, translated by John Wright. This audiobook was produced with a synthetic voice in Fabella Audiobook Builder and is published by Svenska Ljud Audio Förlag.
Process and Event by Alexander Bard and Jan Söderqvist, translated by John Wright. Chapter 1. Everything is history, and time is a god with four faces. Everything is history. In the beginning, there was above all, a beginning. History is everything that exists, and that has existed in a single long edited series. That which exists, exists in time. Nothing that exists, exists outside time. To be outside time, is to not exist at all. Anything of that nature, is impossible to even imagine. Why? Well, because what we call existence consists of two physical quantities, that require an anchoring in precisely time, either objects that we fixate and apprehend, as encapsulated in a kind of being, that is connected to the time axis, or dynamic phenomena, whose development and constant change, we observe along the time axis as an indispensable reference. Thus the history of philosophy becomes a single long dialogue, between on the one hand being, and on the other hand becoming vis-a-vis, this indispensable time axis. Which really is precisely indispensable. We tend to think of space as the enormous receptacle of everything, as some sort of storage container, where being and the universe spin in eternal trajectories, but time is the receptacle, or arena, in which space itself takes place, and where nothing is static, save the mathematical models that physicists and philosophers construct to cast a spell on all the alarming instability. So what then, is time? We apprehend it as extremely real in our everyday lives. Our lives play out as a series of moments, lined up along a time axis, one after the other. But since man for long has imagined that there is a higher reality than the empirical, a transcendent dimension of being in the style of Plato's world of ideas, one has within a main current of both philosophy and physics, long chosen to regard time as an illusion. The really true, one argues within these schools, must be an eternal truth, or it simply is not true. Consider the laws of nature, someone surely will object. For they must be eternally valid, you sort of get that from the name. They must in some mysterious way precede the nature that is subservient to them. But laws can of course be rewritten and abolished, when they for sundry reasons have lost relevance and validity, and what we call laws of nature should rather be viewed as deep-rooted habits, with roots in nothing but a highly arbitrary and particularly local extreme state, which nature merely follows, as long as a particular set of conditions are at hand. This in no way means that the laws of nature are eternal or timeless, merely that they can be observed here and now, and that they probably will exert a considerable influence in the near future, since the conditions in question do not change just like that, but at some point they will change. Everything that exists in time changes, and as soon as we start speaking about some kind of laws, or some kind of mathematical construction, that so to speak, precedes and dictates the reality that actually is real, we have entered the realm of the fairy tales. We imagine that our ideas about nature are discovered instead of created by ourselves. Then we believe that the truth about the world is to be found not in the world, but outside the world. Outside dark caves and beyond reprehensible societies. Which makes everything much more difficult and compels us to start cheating. Since we of course do not actually have, and by definition cannot have, any access to the timeless world, we will, as American physicist Lee Smolin points out, sooner or later start making things up. Which is what both physics and philosophy largely have devoted themselves to. One has made things up. For instance, that time is an illusion. Isaac Newton's breakthrough and influence over all conceivable sciences is of course connected with the fact that his model of the universe was timeless, an eternally hovering equilibrium underpinned by eternal laws. This equilibrium became the holy grail that researchers in every field sought. The whole business was made simple if you, just as Newton himself, were deeply religious. For him, absolute space quite simply was a theological postulate, something that was preordained by God. Everything that remained genuinely incomprehensible about absolute space, for instance that one never could observe or study anything other than phenomena in a relative space and a reality, that Newton and all others were forced to be content with, one could calmly hand over to God to take care of, to the extent that he felt like it. Naturally, creation was perfect and thus eternally immutable.